Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Let's Talk About It. You're listening to the 1,536th episode. I'm your girl, Adrian Misunderstandings Allen. Tonight, I have my sisters with me, Sister Janice Hudson and Pastor Tappy Tolleen Daly. Ladies.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Good evening.
It seems like it'd be so long that I haven't talked to y'all, and it seems like all kinds of stuff be happening, and it's just like you just want to jump right on in, because I don't know about you, but it's some things that we could be talking about.
Yes.
Because I'm listening to other people talking, and I'm trying to figure out why they talking about that. Because that's not even something to be talking about. We've given so much energy to these things that really don't serve us and don't have any, like, there's no purpose in what we're doing in that. And the reason why things happen the way that they do, sometimes I think is because we don't talk about what it is that we need to talk about. So I'm so excited that we are here this evening. If you are first-time listener, if you are just joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you to Purpose Kingdom Network, because you do know it's going down in the PK. It's been going down in the PK for a minute now. We've been doing this thing how long? 4 or 5 years strong? Like almost 6 years old. Tell y'all, and it's never too late to join the team. That's what makes Purpose Kingdom Network really, really real, because no matter what day it is that you find it, it is the day that you need to be here. I really, truly believe that, because some days, you know, we got 2 full weeks of different programming. So every day is something different. But this particular Monday, when the ladies get to sit at the table and we have Let's Talk About It, we not only are talking about it for us, we are talking about it for you. Like 2 years ago, before the pandemic, this used to be the conversation that used to start the conversation at work. We used to say, take this conversation to your break room. Take this conversation to the copy machine. Now, it's like, take this message to, I don't know, just take it to your Facebook stream live if you need to, or have a conversation in the grocery store with somebody. Because each and every day, I believe that the more we bring things to the forefront, they have to get fixed. They have to be changed, you know. So if you are listening live, and you would like to join us live, or if you are streaming with us and you'd like to join us live on the air, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. The way that works is if you press 1, it signals the board. Then the board will let us know that you're there, and then you'll hear this beep, and then it'll be your turn to speak. So without further ado, there's only a couple of things that we say before we get started on the Let's Talk About It, but we definitely need to set an atmosphere. The reason why we need to set the atmosphere, if y'all don't know anything about setting the atmosphere, sometimes you got to come in with your pregame already ready. Like, you got to already know that whatever you're about to get into and whatever you're about to do is going to cause forth everything opposite to happen, basically. That's an easy way of saying it. So what you do is you set your atmosphere. You know how people say put your whole armor of God on? This is how we gear up for this hour, because anything is liable to happen in this hour. Because trust me, in the 5 years that we have been broadcasting, you best believe that we have witnessed some crazy things happen within this hour. And I mean, God has a way of letting you know, once you've gone through some stuff, that it give you like some power over your own stuff, that you can just know things gonna turn out for you.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? Toy, what is that? How many? I had a phone, y'all, one time. I lost my phone 9 times. I ain't lying. 9 different times. 9 different times. I got my phone back every time. I had people take the phone and throw it in a backhoe, for God's sake, one day. The man went to work and seen the phone on the backhoe and was in the messages texting Chappie, talking about, I got her phone 9 times. It makes you start to say, God ain't going to let that happen to me. And that's called power. People don't understand that. That's called power. But you learn that by setting your atmosphere, saying what it is that you need to happen before it even go down. Because what sometimes people think is about to happen, they be really thinking that's going to happen, but they don't understand your power. So yeah. I'm not sure which one of you ladies is going to set this atmosphere tonight. But let's show them the example of what it looked like to take something into your own hands and say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. My God is greater than all of this.
Yeah.
Ladies.
Martha, you want to start us off?
Well, I'm just going to do a quick prayer real quick. And God is in it. You know, our Father which art in heaven, I come to you, Heavenly Father, as humble as I know how, asking you, Father, to please, Father, put your healing arm around your children in the world today, Lord Jesus. You know what we're going through. You know what's going on in the world, Lord. Lord, and I'm asking you, Father God. You said asking it shall be given, seeking out shall find, knocking the door shall be opened unto me. Right now, Father God, I'm asking you. I'm seeking and I'm knocking. So please, Father God, just put your blessings, spread your blessings out here upon the people in the world. Lord, please cover my family. Cover us all, whatever we're going through right now, Father God. Cover us, Lord Jesus, and keep us safe and sound from any hurt, harm, or danger, seen or unseen, physical, spiritual, mental, and verbal, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, please continue on helping me to continue on wearing your armor, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you do, everything that you've done, and everything that you're going to do in my life. It's in your mighty name, yes. Father God. I hand it over to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Thanks, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Sister Adrienne, we still got you. Because I know mother pray. When she get to praying, y'all, I tell you, it's like there is an etheric change. Sister Adrienne?
Yes, yes, I'm here. Now, I wasn't sure if you were going to, if you were following up with it, because I didn't want to say anything, because the prayer was so powerful, because she prayed for her own family, but each and every one of us needs that prayer for our family. Like for anyone that's listening, it's powerful to stand and be bold about what it is that you're asking God for.
Yes.
We do so much for everyone. Sometimes come to my house. Pray for my family. Cover my family, you know? And it was just powerful. So, yeah, no, I was here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. What she can do is she can bring down the power to the point where we go back to a place where it was all right to sit at the foot of grandmama's chair.
Mm-hmm.
To hear grandma tell the story.
Amen.
It was if we could get ourselves to go back there. Oh, what a joy it would be, because I went to a funeral today, y'all, and I'm gonna be honest, it threw me for a curve, because after the pandemic and 2020 is going on and everything, you know what I mean? Especially when people don't pass because of the pandemic. Like, now, if it was a COVID death, everybody would have been, I guess, all right with it. But we forget the fact that people was dying way before COVID.
Amen.
Well,
on a daily basis, actually, you know. So it's like we're losing something in all of these lives that we are losing. But it says something to people that are still living life, but they don't understand, one, why they're living life, and two, they don't understand the death in it. Now, if it's a tragic, if it's a tragic thing, like right now we're dealing with a lot of senseless violence, and it's coming at us in all different types of ways. One thing I do know is that when they used to say what they say, when all hell is breaking loose, like when everything is happening, you know that God is right there. The difference is everything else is so much louder. And it's like you get to focus on that because it's making so much noise. It's so loud. But God is in this. God is in this right now where we are in. And we just got to figure out, as believers, he's waiting on us.
Yeah.
To do exactly what Janice just did and just be bold. I'm asking you to pray for my family. Cover my family. Come into my house. We each one do it. It seems like God's in everybody's house. Then, yes, you can go and say, go into my neighbor's house, too. Because if you're in the area, you know when God is in the neighborhood now. Has anybody ever heard about the person that got the blessing up the street? Don't be mad because he got the blessing up the street. Because I'm looking like he's four hoppers away. What you mean? He's still in the area. You know, we got to focus on what it is. That means he here somewhere. He here somewhere. But we got to be able to pull him. We got to find a way to pull him out. So I went to this funeral today. And there were some good things that happened in the funeral. And there were some just weird things that happened. And I just call them weird because I'm just not used to being in the building when God ain't there. It's different.
Amen.
It's different. It's scary for me. Now, it wasn't a Sunday, so it wasn't supposed to, you know what I mean? There's no telling because, of course, we already know. The building is just exactly that. It's a building. So if there is nothing going on in the building, then the building should be empty. But there was a funeral in the building, like a homegoing service, a celebration. And we called them celebrations of life, homegoing celebrations. And I was just taken back because it was my friend that passed away. And all that I remember of my friend was good times. I mean good times. Not good times, but great times. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like to the point where you get a nickname that sticks forever, you know? And you look back and now you got 30-something years and that same nickname still stick, even at the funeral. Yeah. Still is sticking, mm-hmm. But ain't nobody laughing. Jeez. So you mean to tell me I lived all that life with you? I enjoyed it all them times with you. We laughed and we joked and we cried and we did everything. We cut up, man. Let's just be real. Everything, you know what I mean? I think that, and I really believe that that's what was going on. It seemed like it was a toil between you just being bad, raggedy, and loving yourself.
Jesus.
Or knowing that you was bad and raggedy and know you damn well wrong. So when you show up in the building, you don't know how to be yourself because all you are is damn well raggedy. And you don't know how to come and show up in front of God like that.
Amen.
I'm serious, man. It bothered me because I'm looking at these people and I'm like, if I'd have seen you anywhere else, you would like the life of everything. You have nothing to say right now. Like, what's wrong with you? So I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm telling you, Chap, it was crazy. It was like, okay, swear to God, y'all. It was like they was in hell. You know how they give you the idea of what hell looks like and it's hot And, like, you know what I mean? The devil with his pitchfork and everything is just so smoky and fiery. And whatever the case was, it just seemed like there was no joy in the building. And, man, if hell ain't wherever God ain't,
amen.
It was like they were sitting in hell alive.
You said sitting in hell alive?
They were in hell alive. Like,
what?
That's what it was. I'm looking and I'm like, that, because it's something about knowing that you gotta, there is something about having a blessed assurance. I'm sorry.
Amen.
You might not want to say it, but damn it, if somebody going to tell you that all hell's about to break loose and this happening and this happening and this happening and this happening, all you can rest on is the fact that it done happened before. That's it.
Mm.
You said that before, and it's the same way it happened before this showed up, and I'm telling you today that this is why I'm standing here today like this. Not because of how it is or what you're telling me it is. And it just looked like that was hell.
Wow.
And
I would never want to make that choice. And they was making choices. They was grown and they was making choices. It was crazy. It was scary. And it was children in there. It was the scariest. Oh, my God. Listen. Now, y'all know. Sometimes I have a moment. Sometimes I have a moment, but I'm still having a moment. This was a funeral from today, earlier today. And it really bothered me. Like, I've been really talking to my friend about it, like, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, we were talking before. And I was trying to figure out, now I know that, you know what I mean? And I know we all have stories. And that's the thing, but your story makes you who you are. So you got to one day own it.
Amen.
You got to one day be able to stand in front of God with your own story. That's the only way you're going to stand there. And if you got things to fix, then you fix it.
Fix it. Amen.
You know what I mean? It's like it's okay not to be perfect. But damn it,
you just
don't want to be right.
Well, you know, none of us are perfect. We can try and
live
a perfect life, you know. But as for what you're saying, cause, like, basically, it was like hell in a at a funeral today, you know. I really don't get it, you know. But if we're not living our life for Christ, if we're not accepting Christ, then not doing what we supposed to do, you know, or not even sharing, you know, our stories of Christ and how we got to where we got to, you know, then, yes, everything going to appear to be like hell, you know. And if we leave this world today or tomorrow, and somebody tell my story, believe me, I want my story to be told, you know, and I want my story to be told to the point where, though, when you're sitting in the church or in the funeral home, wherever they have it at, I want the joy, you know. I want people to hear the joy, you know, of my legacy, you know. So we have to live our lives right so that our legacy could live on and somebody else could say how proud they were of our own legacy, or how proud that we were of our own legacy, and what joy we brought to somebody else, and peace and understanding, you know, or even any type of help there were, you know, that we done.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when you were talking about the service you went to today, and a scripture came to mind, I believe it's Luke chapter 9, and Jesus is still recruiting disciples at this time, and he comes upon the man, and he said to him, come and follow me, and the man said, I will, but let me go bury, I believe it was his brother who had just died. And Jesus said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and preach the kingdom of God. And some translations says the good news. However, listening to you describe this funeral for the first time, you walked in a situation where the dead was burying the dead, because you have to think about it. You said there was no joy, there was no celebration, there was no rejoicing over the life that was lived, or the fact that prayerfully, if they were saved, because I don't know the person personally, that they're now in the presence of God. However, you said there was none of that dead. None of that was there. And you have to remember, dead people can't make noise.
Amen.
And if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you are walking dead. So,
amen.
No, you can't be in a place where the presence of God is and make noise, because he's not really there for you. You don't even see him. You don't notice him. And the sad part
crazy.
Is we're like that every day of our lives. You know,
amen.
We forget that God is omnipresent. We think about, oh, we in front of a sanctuary, don't say nothing, or we're inside the sanctuary, don't say nothing. Well, guess what? You're outside of it, too. Like I often say, when you're walking through God. If he is omnipresent, he is right where you're sitting at. He is the step in front of you, a step behind you, a step to the side of you, and a step to the other side of you. So either way you turn, you're walking through him, in him.
Amen.
You just refuse to acknowledge him. So, yeah, when they get to funerals, they do sit quiet and sullen. But we forget the word of God says, the word of God says, cry when they come into the world and rejoice when they're leaving out.
Amen.
But you can only rejoice.
I have never in my life. Listen. And then it makes it bad because, but the one thing that I did realize out of this, and I'll be honest, because I don't know, somebody listening, this could be you. You could be that person. You could be the glue that keeps everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, that's what we lost. We lost a person that literally was like Christ on earth. Because he held everything together and made everyone comfortable in where they were, who they were. And if those parties were together, because there were many a times growing up through life that we were all together at the same party. But to see all of us together without that one element, it was very, 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 very noticeable.
Well, but to be honest, it was only noticeable to you. Look at the growth that God has brought forth in you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, well, that's another thing there, because I was saying that too. Because they used to be my homies. They used to be my crowd. Oh, man.
The spirit of God.
That used to be my crowd.
Recognize what he put you out of.
Well, I bless
mm-hmm.
God for that.
Mm. That's an awesome thing. Mm. That's an awesome
that's
place.
That, on that note, that's an awesome place, because I am not lying to you when I tell you, wow, if that's what that was, wow. Say it like that, see? Look, say it like that. That's a whole different situation, but that's exactly what it was.
We've all been in those situations. It just wasn't all done at a funeral. You know, if you were the person that was on the club or the bar, and then finally you went in there after you've given your life to Christ, and it's like, oh, I can't even stay in here. I don't feel comfortable here. Or whatever it may be that God has delivered you from.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you realized was that you didn't belong there, and then the second thing you realized was the life in you and the lifelessness of those around you. Now, that don't mean you treat folk different.
Right. Well, I was about to say that.
That means you're praying harder for them. So I got to fix that. I got to fix that. I said it doesn't mean you treat them different. Yes, you do. You should be praying harder for them. Because if God brought you out of it, he can bring them out of it.
Amen.
Exactly.
We should be
That's what he does. That's just what God does. He gives us that mindset to basically is a conviction, you know, a heart conviction, you know. When we doing things and having a good time and party and going here and going there, possibly drinking and smoking and whatnot, and we doing all these things in our youth, you know. And sometimes even in our youth, he sits us down and, like, let us see what we where we're going wrong, what we're doing wrong, you know. And he let us know. So once your heart becomes convicted of doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, hey, and God is in it, hey, there's nothing and nobody can say to bring you back. Because once God say enough is enough, enough is enough. So we just have to repent, ask for forgiveness, and ask him to stick with us through it all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like how she said it. Enough is enough. But a lot of us or a lot of people come in contact with a lot of people that are going through their enough is enough. And what's going on right now is it's so much for a lot of people to handle. And when you turn around, you realize that the people that are handling it are younger and younger and younger. Like, so there's not enough life to be able to process what's really, really going on, you know. And it's just a scary, scary thing. But I heard a word just this weekend. And I guess the pastor said it. He was so eloquent when he said it, because we focus on the things that we see all the time. So we speak on the things that we see all the time. That's what we see. So we speak on them. But it says, you know, you speak what it is that you speak what's in existence. So what if we literally start speaking about Christ? Don't focus on that. Don't focus on what's wrong. Don't focus on what they did. Just focus on how Christ would handle it in that situation.
Amen.
Just because that would be a good conversation to hear. It would cut through whatever it is that's actually being done and being said, because everything that we're watching, even from the television programming that we're getting, half of this stuff, half of it is tainted anyway. So if you're not asking, like, real questions when it's coming into your eye gate or your ear gate, it's probably coming tainted. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to watch even the cartoons that we usually be like, oh, go turn this channel on and let that be done. No, don't let your kids watch camera. Don't let kids watch anything by themselves. If you ain't sat and watched one episode with it of whatever they watching, don't let them sit there and watch it.
Hey,
and
right.
I'm serious about that. Like, you got to sit with them for a whole episode and watch an episode so that when you hear that slick shit, you say, what? What is that? What is this? You know what I mean? And then start having them explain themselves. Because I'll be listening and I'll be watching. Like, I don't have – my son just turned 21, so I'm extremely ecstatic about the fact that I don't have any children. But, man, when I be in the room with the kids or listening to the stuff that they're listening to, like the other day, these kids were listening to some person cursing on TikTok in the nail salon. I just did not want to be that old lady. I was about to be that old lady because at the end of the day, Mom, where are you? These kids is listening to something that I don't even want to listen to, and they need to cut that off. You know what I mean? Like, you might not know that they're listening to it, but it's on your phone, so you know what you got on your stuff, and we have to be accountable because those children are what is important right now. Like, another thing that I learned in the funeral, we partied back in that day, right? To hear those children speak, you can hear that, you could hear that they missed that part. There was a part in there where we were out in the street. We were clubbing and stuff. So that meant that parenting wasn't as sound as it should have been, you know? And those kids had to, those kids voiced it today. Like, it was just weird. Like, it was, it really was. Like, now that you say it like that from, like, a growth aspect.
I'm getting ready to go take you back to that. Like, yes, we were in the streets and we were partying and we were doing things. But I'm going to say this much here. What we did do back then, well, I'm speaking in my age group. What we done back then, we put our children to bed. Party after the children were in bed. We didn't go out and 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon when the kids are by themselves or just before they got home from school. So now they coming home and doing whatever it is, you know. And then when we did weren't there, when we weren't there when they got home from school, there was always a note pent up on the refrigerator or notes attached somewhere. Well, I'm here and here's a number for you to reach me at. I'll be back at such and such time, you know. But there's this in the refrigerator. But what I done with my children, whatever was in the center of my table, as my mother done with us, whatever was in the center of the table, that's what they could eat. If it was cereal in the center of the table, then you can go in the refrigerator and get the milk so you can make yourself a bowl of cereal. But it was always something simple. Peanut butter, jelly, bread, crackers, you know, the juicy juice and things like that. Those are the things that the children were allowed to eat. My children weren't allowed to cook in my house when I weren't home. And that's even my 15 and 16-year-old. You know, so some of that, you know, a lot of what you were speaking on, yes, a lot of us back then parents did stable, make sure our home was stable before we left out. Parents now today, they don't. Why you hear so many accidents, so many fires, so many children and shot another child, you know, and sometimes the parents are sitting in the next room, you know, when things are going on, you know, so
there was a different accountability.
A big difference, right. It was a different way of setting the rules and regulations in a household, you know, but
not just that. I know as a child coming up, because I was born in the late 60s, so I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and if you don't think they partied in the 70s, but they, like she said, there was somebody decided I can't do the party tonight because I got all the children.
Yeah. That's right.
Somebody decided that, you know, the eldest cousin was going to babysit. Or back in the time when the neighborhood raised the children, your next door neighbor keeps an eye on you. It's not done like that today. And then to make it worse, I have to say my generation and the generation under me, we decided that we wanted to be our children's friends instead of our children's parents. Because we were rebelling against the discipline that we were brought up under, not looking at what that discipline did for us. It taught us respect for our elders. It taught us respect for ourselves. It taught us how to carry yourself. It taught you what to do. You know, there was a time when you were more afraid of your parents than you were the police. You know, that thing that would always say, go ahead, call the po-po. I'm not afraid of the po-po. But it was a different story if somebody said, well, I'm going to call your mother. I'm going to call your father. No, don't call them. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's call.
Amen. God bless my mother. My mother's 89 years old. And right now today, I still won't disrespect her.
If she smacked me in my face, I'll walk away. I'll walk away.
It was a level, it was different then. So you are so right when you say that the younger generation missed it because we got caught up on the wrong thing. Our attention went the wrong way. You know what? Can I switch this just a little bit, talking about attention and getting caught up on the wrong thing? Ladies, do y'all mind if I switch this topic just a little bit? I was looking at the news this afternoon, and in the news, I'm not sure. I can't remember if they said Australia or Austria, but one of these two countries. The big thing now is not if you're black or white, if you're rich or poor, if you wear name brands or off-rack brand. Like that used to be what Satan would use to get us riled up with each other. The new thing is, are you vaccinated or not vaccinated? And in this country, Australia or Austria, I don't remember which one, I just know it started with an A, but it was one of those two. They made it a new law. They created a new law that if you are unvaccinated, you can't leave out of your house, except you, like, you can leave out, I believe, to go shopping. You can leave out if you're leaving out to go get the vaccination. But you're not allowed out of your home. And that really, like, blew my mind because we are so caught up on, well, you know, the vaccinated people, they care about everybody. And the unvaccinated people, they don't care. And they're this and they're that. And the vaccinated is this and they're that. And the truth of the matter is, do you know it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated? Because what we're doing that has this pandemic constantly spreading, it's not about the vaccinated or the unvaccinated. It's about people who have tested positive for this disease, and they're still going about their daily routine like they did not test positive. Their children are testing positive, and they're letting their children go out to play, or they're taking their children out to play. They know their baby is sick or might be sick, and they're sending them to school anyway because they don't want to miss a day of work.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we cannot get a grip on this disease. It's not about a vaccination or not having a vaccination, because if the vaccination was that simple, then if you're vaccinated, you won't. But unfortunately, I know so many people who are currently sick with COVID that are completely vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen and heard of too many people who have tested positive for COVID that are still going about their daily day like nothing's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to address.
Amen.
Not getting well. It's like measles.
Look, say that what you again? Say, it's like the what? It's like the what?
I was going to say it's like the measles, smallpox, all those diseases that used to be so crazy and out of control. But what happened when you found out that you had came in contact with it, you were quarantined.
That's right.
And if you got sick with it, you were quarantined until you were better. You didn't get sent to school with measles. You didn't get sent to school with smallpox. You didn't get sent to school. But now it's like, oh, I can't take today off. I got to send them. And then when you call to say to them, you know, your child tested positive at the school or your child was in the classroom where somebody tested positive, we need you to come get your child and you got to quarantine for 5 days, then you can get them tested. They act like somebody done just hit them over the head with a hammer.
Wow.
And it's just mind-boggling to me that we've gotten to a place of total callousness when it comes to life and death. As long as I'm comfortable, everybody else, you better figure out life. As long as I'm comfortable. And the saddest part in it is that some of the folk doing this call themselves believers in Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Like, because they don't want to deal with the shame. They don't want to deal with the shame of it. See, it's so funny because back in the day, you would be ousted from, you know, like if you slept around with a whole lot of people, you know, people would say something. Or if you happen to come down with a sexual transmitted disease or something, and people heard about it, you know, and you got letters to your name, you got the HIV or whatever, you know. Like, back in the day, if you had something, there was, like, the stigma on the having something. So this COVID thing is something that now we know there's no picks. You could be rich, you could be poor, you could be white, you could be black, you know. And it's something that actually put us all on the same equal playing field.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we can't deal with equals. We only want to deal with the differences. So,
but that,
just like you were saying, the split up of how we've always had one versus the other, now there's a shame in it. Because if I was with someone that was sick, now I got to go back and I got to call you, the people that I was with, and then let you know that I was dirty and that I'm dirty, and now you guys all might be dirty too. You know what I mean? It's like sleeping with the person that has the disease, and then the person has to go back and track all of the people that they've ever been with to then say to them, you were with me. So now I got to show up again. It's bad enough I was already with you. Now I'm with you and I was sick. Now I got to go back and then go and find the people that I was with and then go tell those people that I was with this person and they were nasty and they got this and now I got that. So because I was with you, now you might have that. And then, like, there's a whole lot of shame in
it. I could understand that. I can understand people having a shame with it if it was something that you contracted in that manner. You can get COVID if somebody had it pushing a cart and sneezed and didn't wipe themselves properly, the cart down, or didn't cover their sneeze properly. And now you're going into the supermarket and you just, by chance, happen to grab that same cart. You could walk behind somebody and touch a door handle that they touched. Here's the one that upset me the most. You could get on a swing that a parent just took their baby out of, and they knew their baby had tested positive for COVID. Now, when I say baby, I ain't talking about a toddler. I'm talking about a baby. You know, little over a year maybe. And then you put your baby in that swing. And now your baby has come into contact with it, and so have you, because you're pushing your child on the swing. So it's not like COVID is – catching COVID is like catching a cold.
Catching a cold. And that's what's going on.
And here's the part, though. With COVID – you really don't have to call nobody and tell them nothing. The first question they're going to ask you is, in the past 5 days, who have you been around? Have you been at work? Then we're going to send information to your job, and your job is going to figure out who you were closest to that day. But the school got to send something out to the school so they can notify the class that child was in or that teacher taught. It's not the same. And it's definitely not anything to be embarrassed about. Right. It's something that people need to know as soon as possible, because most of the diseases that they have out there that you would be embarrassed to tell somebody about, with the exception of the last two, one to stay with you forever, and the other one, they even got medicines that can keep you alive now. So even HIV and herpes don't do what it used to do, but COVID will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
you know, other diseases, you made a choice to do something, and that's how you caught it. With COVID, what you do? Go to work? Go to school? Went to the supermarket? Mm-hmm. Was unfortunate enough to have to get in the taxi or a septa bus? Or whatever your public transportation might be? All I'm asking people is that we take more accountability for ourselves and for our neighbors. I'm not getting ready to do this. Oh, go get vaccinated or don't get vaccinated. What I'm saying is, if you're sick, do you know you're sick? Stay in house. Reach out to
stay
friends
home.
And family. Let them come help you. But don't go expose thousands of others because you don't feel like it's that deep.
I call that a non-caring person. That's a person that don't care who gets sick. If I'm sick, you sick. I don't care. That's just like, you know, a lot of men are ignorant. No, let me stop this. I'm not going to say that. A lot of people are ignorant to the fact of I had a sexually transmitted disease, and I ain't going to tell her. I'm going to sleep with her since I don't know which one of them gave it to me or him. I don't know which one of them gave it to me. So they go around and go around, like our pastor said, just giving this disease out just to be giving it out, you know. But like Pastor said, COVID is not a disease of that. COVID is a disease of people being careless, people not thinking and not doing what they're supposed to do, you know, because even before COVID came up, people were like, oh, he coughed and turned their head and went the other way, you know. And
mm-hmm.
for somebody that know that they had COVID and walk up on you and cough in front of you, this happened to me in the supermarket about 2 or 3 days ago. I was walking. Thank God I wear my mask. I wear it everywhere I go. And I walked past this gentleman. When I walked past him, I don't know if he was being smart or nothing. He literally pulled his mask down and he coughed. He didn't cough one time or two times. This man coughed like 3 or 4 times, you know, and I walked past. And my granddaughter says, Grandma, I said, yes. She said, did you see what that man done? I said, oh, my goodness. And I turn around. When I turn around, I looked at him, and he put his head up and kept walking without a mask. So I said, oh, yeah, he's one of those guys that just don't care, or he's trying to be smart. Maybe he got COVID and trying to pass it on, you know. But I got my, you know, I keep Lysol and all that type of stuff around. I got my Lysol oil, the travel thing, and sprayed it in the atmosphere, you know, wiped my hands and everything. And then I went to the store manager and told him what he done. Store manager walked up to him and told him either put a mask on or leave the store.
And that's it. It becomes that simple. Either put the mask on or leave the store. Now, like you said, it was Austria. Austria was the country that has done this vaccination. It's Austria, yes. So it was an A one. You was right. So it is Austria. And that is as of, I think, as of today. Like, they did that. That's something new. So if you know somebody that's in Austria right now and you know they have not done it, they need to be getting ready to be prepared to get it done, because if they think they're leaving their house without it, I mean, the sad part about it is, if you ever go back to a stay at home, I believe that America would fight it. Because of all of what you just said, and I still want to take the responsibility of caring for not ourselves, but for our neighbor. There would be more silly situations going on where people want to get up and revolt and fight this and not do that, you know what I mean? Just to not stay in the house, just so that they wouldn't be okay. I mean,
yeah,
the way the Austria is saying it is that if you got the shot, you're better than if you didn't, if you don't get the shot. But if you look at their numbers, they don't have a lot of people that have the shot. So that's
mm-hmm.
why they, that's why theirs, that stay home even looks more like, okay, because they have numbers that nobody's really getting the shot. So because nobody really went and got the shot, they're saying that there's more of a, you know, they're like going on, they're taking us back to like 2019 when we first heard about it and they were trying to stop us from going out. This is before George Floyd was killed. You know,
right.
Like they're in that aspect where nobody is out there actually going to get the shot. So they're like, okay, well, we need to try to catch an order to this. So if we keep you in the house, at least they'll be able to clean up all the surfaces that we're talking about. I don't want to not do this part, because this is the reason why we come on. This is the reason why we actually have the ministry, so that you can get the opportunity to have a relationship with God, so that you can become one of these believers as we are, and you can actually become that light in the dark situation. So when you see things going awry, you'll be able to speak up because of the fact that you have a relationship with God. So we give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life. And it's a real simple thing to do. It's the conversation of all. Chappie's on the line, so you ain't got to chop it up with me. You can finesse it with Chap. Okay. So go on, give them what they need to do so that they can become a believer like we are.
Amen.
And join the team.
In the midst of it all. In the midst of it all, in the midst of all that is going on around you, there is a way. There is a safety line. There is a safety net. There is a rescue boat. His name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Isa, I don't care what name you call him by, Jesus, what language you call him in, if you are talking about he that was the word of God, that was first with God, that then came and tabernacled amongst us, then that is who we are talking about this evening. In the midst of all that is going around, even with this COVID situation, he is greater than it all. The best vaccination that I've seen has been Psalms 91:10, that no sickness or disease can enter into my dwelling and no evil shall befall me. Hallelujah, God. The start of the ministry tonight, you heard Sister Adrian talking about going to a funeral where there was no life in the building. People could not rejoice. People could not bless God for the life of the one who had passed because they did not know God. But today is an opportunity for you, wherever you are, no matter who you are, have the opportunity and the chance to get to know him, and not just know about him, know of him, but to know him personally. Hallelujah. A lot of people know, some folk call me PT, some people call me Chappie, some people call me Toy, some even call me Tyler. A lot of people of me, but only a very few know me personally. A lot of people know of God, but very few know him personally. And today is an opportunity for you to become one of the few. Jesus sent his word, God sent his word, that God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but can have everlasting life. Whosoever means anybody and everybody, no matter economic situation, your cultural upbringing, your cultural background, no matter if you're the smartest or the slowest, no matter if you are the silliest or the most serious, no matter what crimes you may have committed, no matter what sins you may have committed, whosoever is the clause that opens the door for each and every one of us. His word tells us that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and rose from the dead, and you believe it in your heart and confess it out of your mouth, and I am paraphrasing, it says, then you shall be saved. So today I ask you to accept the gift that God has given to us, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. Many different ways we are trying to find a way in relationship with the Father. But the Father told us through his Son, Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come unto the Father except through him. Today is your day to call on the name of Jesus and to be saved. You can say a prayer of your own where you just confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You ask him into your life. You ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you then let somebody know. Or you can repeat this prayer after me. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening admitting that I am a sinner, but I come accepting the gift which you gave, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask him to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to come into my life and begin to make me new even this day, this second. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you said that prayer, you just tell somebody. Again, you do not have to wait until Sunday morning Bible study, till the sanctuary doors are open, Sabbath worship. You don't have to wait until then. You can call somebody on the phone. If somebody's in the house with you, you can go let them know, hey, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. According to God's word, once you do that, you are saved, and we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Then we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Until then, bless God. That is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting with One Touch Transformation and the host, Minister Arsenius Jackson, right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on any of our social media pages. We are on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Also, feel free to visit us via our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com. Again, that's www.pknradio.com. where we are blessed to broadcast gospel music 24 hours a day. We are also able to reach out and talk to any of the different hosts from the different ministries and allow us to know how we can continue to be a blessing for you. Until then, bless God. We thank and praise God for all of our listeners, for all those who have joined in with us this evening for this 1,536th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. And ladies, the ministry is back in your hands.
Well, we say thank you so much. If there are any callers out there that were listening but did not want to press one, I think my take it back for the evening would be start living your life. Live your life. Live your life. Hey, whatever that song was. Like, live the life. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to get one. You're only going to get one. Don't live the life that says that I shoulda, woulda, coulda. I shoulda did this. I shoulda did that. I was going to do this. Don't live that life. Take back your now. Do it now and enjoy it.
Amen.
Well, ladies, my take it back for this evening is to bring back the families, get the families back together. That's my take it back for this evening. Just get our families back together. Old school.
Yes. And my take it back this evening would just be to love one another. To love one another, you would wish to be loved. If it's something you don't want done to you, don't do it to anyone else. If it's something that you would like to have done for you, go out and do it for somebody tonight or tomorrow. But to love.
Period.
And not love like you love. Love like Christ loved, unconditionally. That's my take of that.
Period. Well, ladies, sounds like a good one. Put it in the book, and we will see y'all in 2 weeks. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Jesus led. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.